content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the Harvard Health Letter and also from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. The first article will come from the Harvard Health Letter. It's called Typing and Tapping Despite Hand Pain. Do stiff hands make it hard to use your smartphone or computer? Try these tips so you can keep using your devices. Thanks to technology, the world is at your fingertips. All it takes is tapping on a smartphone, typing on a keyboard, or clicking with a mouse. That's not so easy, however, when it irritates underlying conditions like a tendonitis or arthritis. The problem is that the repetitive movement of your fingers on a keyboard or reaching and stretching your fingers on a mouse with a phone, it's the repetitive movement with one hand and sustained grasping with the other hand, explains Eve Kennedy Spain, clinical supervisor of the Pain Management, Work Injury, and Integrative Medicine Programs at Harvard-affiliated Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital. Consider the following strategies when hand pain or stiffness makes computer or smartphone use difficult, and check with your doctor to make sure these tips are right for you. Do you have a hunt and peck style typing style? Do you text only with your thumb? That can lead to overuse injuries. Instead, distribute the work among your fingers and hands. Alternate which fingers are doing the work, Kennedy Spain says. If you only use a mouse with your right hand, try mousing left-handed, or switch the hand you use to hold a smartphone. Take breaks. Use a computer or smartphone as a sedentary activity. It keeps you from being active and restricts blood flow to your hands, which makes them stiffer and harder to move. To combat it, take scheduled breaks before you feel the need to stop. By the time your hands are complaining, you've already aggravated them. It takes longer to get the pain and stiffness under control, and you end up needing a longer break, Kennedy Spain says. Take a 5-minute break after 45 minutes of activity. Stand up, get a drink of water, or do anything that completely changes your position. It's important to keep your wrists and hands limber. Stretch them periodically. Start at your wrists, keeping your forearms still and slowly moving your fists in circles. Next, gently open and close your fists, stretching your fingers if you can. Make sure your fingers are aligned and moving together, and that no finger is going ahead of or lagging behind the others, which can happen when you have arthritis. Kennedy Spain advises, use heat or cold therapy. Heat and cold therapies have differing uses. Heat is soothing and relaxes muscles. It's helpful before typing or using your phone for an extended period. It's good for stiffness, but not swelling, Kennedy Spain says. Moist heat gets deeper into the tissues and joints. You can get moist heat from warm hand soaks or using microwavable moist heat mittens. Ice is an anti-inflammatory and a painkiller. It's best for tendonitis or swollen hot joints. It helps after you've been using your hands for a long time, Kennedy Spain says. Try an ice pack. Cold therapy gloves with gel packs you keep in freezers, or a hand soak in icy water. Limit therapy sessions to 20 minutes to avoid hurting your skin. Avoid awkward hand positions. Holding or moving your hands in unnatural ways can cause pain. For example, maybe you're reaching for the mouse with only your wrist, twisting your wrist as you hold your smartphone, or propping your laptop on your fingers. All those activities put pressure on the joints and small muscles. Use your larger muscles, like your whole arm, or move your mouse, and keep weight off your fingers, suggests Kennedy Spain. Use helpful tools. Go easier on your hands and wrists by using some of the following tools. Virtual assistants or voice-to-text features. Most computers and smartphones have features that allow you to type, text, or carry out commands by simply talking out loud. Don't know how to use them? Search for an instructive video on the internet or ask a family member for a lesson. Be sure to use a comfortable mouse. You should be able to move the mouse without having to grasp it tightly or stretch your fingers out too wide. Get a mouse that's bigger or smaller to fit you better, or try a vertical mouse that keeps your hand in a handshake position. A wide grip stylus. This type of stylus is easy to hold and saves your fingers from tapping on a smartphone or tablet. A smartphone holder. A gooseneck holder enables you to adjust the height and angle, Kennedy Spain suggests. Gel-filled wrist rests. Get them for your keyboard and your mouse. Get a comfy chair. Be sure it has good support and that you sit up straight in it. The body is a dynamic chain, Kennedy Spain says. When one part isn't in a good position, it affects the rest of the body, including your hands. Now here's an article also from the Harvard Health Letter. Of course, this is the March 2022 edition, and it's called Tips to Manage Tinnitus. Treating underlying causes, practicing mindfulness, and living a healthy lifestyle may help to reduce the volume and distress. The distant peals of bells from a town square or a church can be a lovely and even comforting sound. The ringing of tinnitus in your ears is quite the opposite. The internal high-pitched ringing, whooshing, or hissing noise can cause great distress. Having tinnitus can make it hard to concentrate, reduce your sleep quality, and cause irritability, nervousness, anxiety, depression, or feelings of hopelessness. This, in turn, can lead to mental, physical, and social repercussions, causing people to withdraw from company of others, says Emma Alscher, an audiologist at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts Eye and Ear. While it's not always possible to eliminate tinnitus, the following strategies may help to ease the symptoms. First, check for underlying conditions. Tinnitus is often seen in people with hearing loss. It can also be a side effect of some medications. In rare cases, it's caused by a tumor involving the nerve responsible for hearing. See an ear, nose, and throat specialist who can diagnose the cause of your tinnitus and perhaps help you to reverse or alleviate it. Also, you should learn your triggers. Write down the circumstances when tinnitus symptoms bother you. It helps you to anticipate, prevent, and change situations that may make tinnitus worse, Alscher points out. For example, some people feel their tinnitus worsens after drinking alcohol or caffeinated drinks, although there is little evidence that alcohol or caffeine causes tinnitus very often. Get hearing aids. If you have hearing loss, there's a good chance that hearing aids will help provide some relief from your tinnitus and also help you hear better, Alscher says. Try a masking device. This device looks like a hearing aid and produces sounds, like nature sounds, that make tinnitus seem quieter. The sound distracts the brain, and tinnitus symptoms become easier to tolerate. If you have hearing loss as well as tinnitus, the masking device and hearing aid may operate together as one instrument, Alscher says. Many such combination instruments also have Bluetooth streaming capabilities, so you can find a unique sound you prefer and stream the sound directly to your hearing instrument. Regular physical activity can reduce the frequency and intensity of tinnitus and the distress it causes in some people, Alscher says. And higher levels of physical activity can improve overall health and the quality of your sleep, both of which can help you to cope with tinnitus. Try mindfulness. A program called Mindfulness-Based Tinnitus Stress Reduction builds skills in deep breathing, yoga, relaxation, and meditation to help a person to deal with tinnitus, Alscher says. Mindfulness programs have been shown to reduce depression and anxiety while improving social functioning and overall mental health in people with tinnitus. Try cognitive behavioral therapy. CBT helps you identify negative thoughts about tinnitus and reframe the way you think about and react to tinnitus. CBT is often used in conjunction with mindfulness. Join an online tinnitus support group. These groups can promote feelings of hope and control. Members often share strategies they have found successful in dealing with their tinnitus, Alscher says. You can find these groups on Facebook or at the American Tinnitus Association. And by the way, tinnitus is T-I-N-N-I-T-U-S. The American Tinnitus Association is at www.ata.org. Consider giving tinnitus retraining therapy a try. This therapy uses counseling and sound masking to help the brain relearn hearing patterns so tinnitus is less noticeable. Reduce stress. Being stressed out may increase your perception of tinnitus and increase your reaction to it. We have lots of suggestions for reducing stress on page 6, which we'll get to here shortly. Stay socially active. Sometimes tinnitus can become so unbearable that it leads to isolation, loneliness, and a focus on tinnitus symptoms. Make it a point to spend time with people whose company you enjoy, even if it's just a text or a phone call. The exchange will take the focus away from tinnitus and improve your feelings of well-being, hope, and happiness. And the story goes on to mention do-it-yourself sound masking. You don't always need a fancy ear device to mask tinnitus sounds. Playing music or white noise helps to distract your brain, so you pay less attention to the tinnitus. It's especially helpful at night when it's quiet and tinnitus can interfere with sleep. Using a bedside sound generator or a fan can help people with tinnitus fall asleep easier and reduce tinnitus distress. You can also use the sound machine during the day, says Emma Alscher, an audiologist at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts Eye and Ear. Earbuds or headphones will also do the job. It's just individual preference, Alscher says, but we don't recommend noise-canceling headphones or earbuds, as they cancel out ambient and background noise, both of which can be helpful for tinnitus. Now here's another article from the Harvard Health Letter of March 2022, and it's entitled Smart Questions to Ask About a New Prescription. Getting answers can help you avoid costly medication mistakes. When your doctor prescribes a new drug, you might not think of all the questions you should ask about it. Maybe your appointment is rushed, you're focused on a diagnosis, or you just don't feel well. That's all understandable. But without enough information, you might be vulnerable to the consequences of a medication error, like taking too much or too little of the drug. Such errors result in 1.3 million emergency department visits each year in the United States. If you don't ask questions when you get a prescription, seek information as soon as possible and write down the answers. Here's some ideas to get you started. Why is this being prescribed? You need to be in on your treatment so you understand what your condition is, how a particular medication will help you, and what would happen if you didn't take it. A good example is high blood pressure. Since it often doesn't cause symptoms, some people don't realize that if high blood pressure is not controlled, it can lead to a heart attack or a stroke, says Joan Doyle Petrangelo, a pharmacist at Harvard-affiliated Massachusetts General Hospital. What is the name of this drug? Make sure you get the name of the medication so you'll be able to recognize it on a pill bottle and know how to refer to it. What are the side effects? Medications often have the potential to cause side effects like dizziness or drowsiness, nausea, or headache. Find out what the common side effects are for the drug you're getting and what to do if you notice them. For example, some medications for anxiety or depression may make you sleepy, so that you may want to take the medication only while you're at home and avoid driving, Doyle Petrangelo says. Find out how your body reacts to it so you can plan your day. What are the drug instructions? Medication instructions vary widely. Some are simple, like taking a drug with food to ward off stomach irritation, or without food to promote better absorption. Others are more complicated. An example is alendronate, or Fosamax, that's used to treat osteoporosis. You really need to take it on an empty stomach 1 hour before meals or 2 hours afterward with a large glass of water, and you can't lie down for 1 hour after taking it because it can irritate your esophagus, Doyle Petrangelo says. Ask about the best way to fit a new medication into your existing regimen. How long will I need to take this medication? The length of time you need to take a prescription drug also varies, depending on your needs, but not everybody gets that message. For example, I run into problems with some patients thinking they only have to take a blood pressure medication for a month or until refills run out, although they really need to take it indefinitely, Doyle Petrangelo says. On the other hand, a drug like a pain reliever might only be intended for a short term. Ask up front how long your doctor thinks you'll need to take the drug and how you'll know when it's time to stop. Is this drug going to affect my other medications? Many pills, including over-the-counter remedies and supplements, have harmful interactions with others, like amplifying the effect of one or making another too weak. For example, taking calcium can block the effects of levothyroxine that is taken to treat an underactive thyroid. Some actions can be dangerous. A lot of antibiotics can interfere with the blood thinner warfarin, increasing the risk for bleeding. Make sure your doctor knows about everything you're taking at the time a new drug is prescribed. What if I miss a dose? In some cases, it might be okay to skip a dose or take the medication when you realize you missed it. In others, it depends on when you make the discovery. For example, metformin or glucophage, it's also called Riomet for diabetes. If you're supposed to take doses at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m., and you discover at midnight that you forgot your 6 p.m. dose, you might need to just skip it and wait until the morning. Otherwise, it could make the morning dose too strong. But you really need guidance from your doctor or pharmacist, Doyle Petrangelo says. Of course, there's some other questions to think about. How much does the drug cost? Can I get it in generic form? How will we know if it's working? Is it safe to drive when you're taking it? Can I drink alcohol while I'm taking it? How do I get refills? How should I store it? Are there drug-free alternatives? And if more questions occur to you, Doyle Petrangelo says, don't be embarrassed to go ahead and ask them. Now we're going to turn to an article in the Harvard Health Letter. It's called Top Ways to Reduce Daily Stress. Try these tips to ward off ongoing stress and its many health risks like chronic inflammation and chronic disease. There's a picture in this article that has a caption, laughing has been referred to as internal jogging for its powers of healing. Do you handle stress as well as you used to? For most folks, it gets harder as the years go by, and that's a potential problem for your health. Stress increases the risk for chronic disease, to which the body is already more vulnerable after a lifetime of wear and tear. And maybe because of your unhealthy habits, like a poor diet or not exercising. Why is stress bad for us? We need the body's stress response to get us through tough times. When you sense a threat or danger, your body rises to the challenge by releasing stress hormones, tightening your muscles, making your blood pressure rise, and your heart and lungs work harder, and releasing a surge of fat and sugar to give you energy. When danger subsides, your body goes back to its normal operations. If you get stressed out frequently, the stress response can become constant and cause ongoing harm, including chronic inflammation, the persistent activation of the immune system, which sharply raises the risk for many diseases like dementia, heart disease, and stroke. The best way to cope with stress is by getting at least 7 hours of sleep every day, eating a predominantly plant-based diet, exercising regularly, meditating, and staying socially connected. If you're practicing all these healthy habits, it helps you become more resilient and better able to adapt to life's challenging situations, says Dr. Shalu Ramchandani, an integrative medicine specialist at the Harvard-affiliated Benson Henry Institute for Mind-Body Medicine at Massachusetts General Hospital. Something else that helps is quelling the body's stress response whenever you feel triggered. Try any of these tips for on-the-spot relief. You might try doing a relaxation exercise. The relaxation response, the opposite of the stress response, was defined by Harvard Medical School professor Herbert Benson. It slows your breathing, reduces your heart rate, and lowers your stress hormones. To elicit this state, Dr. Ramchandani recommends a basic breathing exercise, like taking 10 very slow breaths in and out, or trying an imagery exercise. Imagine being in your favorite vacation place, maybe the beach or in nature, Dr. Ramchandani suggests. Imagine all the sensations you'd experience there, the sights and sounds of the waves, the smell of the ocean, and the breeze brushing against your skin. Hold this image for a few minutes and notice the relaxing effect. Stretch your muscles. Your muscles tense up during stress. Relieve that tension by stretching. While sitting or standing, inhale. Raise your arms overhead. Lace your fingers together. Stretch. Release your fingers. And exhale as you lower your arms to each side. Repeat this 3 times. Take a mindfulness break. Being mindful helps to elicit the relaxation response by bringing you to the present moment. It can break a cycle of stressful thoughts. It's like a real-time imagery exercise. You note all of your senses as you do something soothing. It could be having a cup of tea and noticing its warmth in your hands, the scent of the tea, and the way it feels going down your throat, Dr. Ramchandani says, or it could be taking a mindful shower or a leisurely and mindful walk through nature. Take a brisk walk. Getting 150 minutes per week of moderate intensity exercise, like brisk walking, is important for all aspects of health, including stress management. But even a quick 10-minute walk when you're feeling triggered can help to burn off stress hormones, counter muscle tension, and release the body's feel-good chemicals, which promote relaxation. If arthritis or another condition makes walking difficult, ask your doctor about other aerobic exercises you may be able to do. Use laughter. Laughter has been referred to as internal jogging by Dr. William Fry and may provide a source of healing. It reduces stress hormones and becomes an expression of joy, optimism, and hope, Dr. Ram Chandani says. Watch a movie or a TV show that makes you laugh. Maybe your favorite episode of I Love Lucy. Reduce loud noise in your environment. Loud noise triggers the stress response, Dr. Ram Chandani notes. It makes it hard to think and takes you away from being mindful. If loud noise is unavoidable, perhaps because it comes from your neighbors, traffic, or someone in your home, try wearing earplugs or noise-canceling headphones. And also, you should play soothing music. Pleasing music can help to elicit the relaxation response. Music therapy can be very powerful for healing, and it's used in medical settings for everything from cancer treatment to recovering from COVID-19, Dr. Ram Chandani says. Well, I think we'll stop at this point. It looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. I sure hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.